There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Arms Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, we're in the second hour of the weekend edition. I got to tell you, I had some fun in the first hour. I find it interesting that Stuart Thompson and Michael Belkin are both very optimistic about the future of gold share prices for gold mining companies and obviously silver mining companies also. We're chatting right now with Rick Ackerman and Dr. Richard Postma about that same issue. In terms of gold stocks, Doc, you're a real believer because you buy gold stocks on a regular basis, right?
Absolutely, Al. I like what I'm seeing. I like charts. And you've got some real value in some of these, I think, that people are overlooking. And this is the time to buy them right now. Some of them have a little bit further to fall, by the way. And I think they will, but there are some that are looking really good. And so I'm purchasing right here, and I'm purchasing certain basic ones for the long haul. I'm not trading them. There's other ones that I've traded out in and out of, but there are some that I'm slowly taking a long-term position in, and will continue to over this year.
Now, Rick, I want to throw it over to you. And we are seeing the gold stocks, even the ETFs that follow these gold stocks, not exactly, you know, follow gold as much and take as big of a hit as they usually do when gold moves down in this way. In your eyes, is this positive for the underlying gold price, or is this just the stocks kind of finding investors out there that aren't willing to put their money into gold?
I think that these gold stocks, especially the juniors, are really shell-shocked. They've been sold down so hard that it's hard to push them much lower. They're definitely showing resilience this week relative to the price of the metal. You know, I've got COMEX June futures have been off as much as $13-14 today, but GDXJ and GDX have held pretty solid. In fact, gold's currently down about $8 on the futures contract, but GDX is actually up, and the junior vector GDXJ is only down 3 cents. So I would say, speculatively, it's a positive sign.
What's causing that discrepancy in your mind, Rick?
Gold has many friends and enemies, and it trades for a lot of reasons, but these juniors, the mining stocks, don't have so much in the way of enemies as they do, let's say, beleaguered friends. So you don't get the dedicated selling in the stocks that you would in the metal simply because the stocks attract a different crowd. They're, let's say, a little more loyal.
Now, well, Doc, I want to get your input on what I have been saying in the last couple of segments as well, is that I believe that a lot of the traders have been cleared out of the gold market over the past 4 years, and now all that's left are the people holding these stocks for the long term because they're firm believers, either because they're gold bugs or they understand the underlying financials behind these companies, and that if you can survive this, who knows how long this will be, you're going to come out much, much better on the back end.
And I can agree with that, Corey. And I tend to be a contrarian investor, and kind of like Stanley Druckenmiller and some of those fellows where, and this isn't for everybody, and I know Al talks about diversification, but I will take very strong positions in certain stocks and sectors when they've been washed out. And I've been waiting for this opportunity, and I'm not going to let it go because I've been here before. And I've seen what happens if you just watch this and you don't respond because you're going to be left behind someday because you won't know about the rise until you see a rise of about 100% for some of these. And then finally people will notice. But so if you start to pick out good companies, and you understand that they'll have their day again someday and take positions down here where the downside is minimal, but the upside is very great potentially, it's a great place to invest in.
Well, you know, we personally think on this particular, in our little organization here, we think that it is a great place to invest in long term. I guess the question that I would ask, though, is, Rick, to you, what's it going to take for this sector to heat up again? More interest, right? What's going to be the catalyst for that more interest?
Well, I don't think it would be the precipitous collapse of the financial economy. You know, that's definitely going to infuse its way into gold futures, and it would take a little while for the gold miners to discount it because, you know, there are a lot of costs associated with gold mining. All right, so I think, you know, on a delayed basis, if we had some sort of horrific financial crash, that would be beneficial to gold, assuming that the crash isn't so severe that the whole world is in smoldering ruins. You know, otherwise, if things kind of stay status quo here, the same factors that have influenced the bull market since 2009, I see the gold stocks doing, the mining stocks doing no better than languishing.
Okay, and the other side of the coin is, yeah, then you have a guy like Dr. Postma, who is almost on an every other day basis continuing to add to his portfolio. And, I mean, those are a couple of very, very different philosophies. How do you reconcile that, Doc?
Well, the part with Rick, and it's a good point, what he just said about languishing. And I've seen those type of years with sectors where they will languish. But I'm willing to languish for 2 or 3 years to know I may get 200% 3 years after that. I figure 200% in 5 years is a pretty good return. So I'm willing to languish for quite a while and take my positions and have a certain percentage of my portfolio in stocks like that because I know how quickly they can move to the upside, and I saw one just a little while back that did that, and it was 100% move. And that's all you need if you're a trader, if you want the 100%. Of course, I didn't take it because I'm in that one for the long haul.
Now, Doc, right back to you. Do you think silver is going to outperform gold when we do start to see a move up or some more interest in the precious metals? Or how do you think the whole gold to silver ratio will react?
Well, generally, the experts and historically talk about how silver always leads. And, of course, that would mean that either we're going to industrially in the globe take off again, which I really question whether that's going to happen anytime soon. So it's going to have to be based on the monetary side, Corey. But generally, silver leads you out of the desert. I don't know if it will this time, but it certainly could again.
Well, the silver market clearly is very resilient, as is the gold market right now, although I'd have to say that if you compare the two, silver has been of late much more resilient, exhibited a lot more strength, I'd have to say, than gold has. I personally like silver simply because of the leverage that silver, I think, really offers as opposed to gold. I mean, I'd rather buy a commodity that's trading at $15-16 an ounce than a commodity that's trading at $1,200 an ounce, just because I think you have a better shot at looking at a significant appreciation. Any comments on that, Rick?
I was just talking to my trading partner, John Bouillette in Boston, and he has been holding, saving, collecting, hoarding silver coins for a long time, junk silver, silver rounds, some collectibles, and we were talking about the utility of silver. If things ever really turn nasty, you know, we wake up one morning, for instance, and find the bank has closed. So I think silver has a utility in that way that gold doesn't, because it can be divided into relatively small units. But yes, on a basis of the fact that the average guy can more readily afford to put money in silver, you know, the differential is very expensive to buy a maple leaf, but relatively cheap to buy an ounce of silver. So I think for that reason alone, you do have some silver as the high beta candidate between the two.
Guys, some great comments on gold. It's going to be interesting to continue to watch what happens to the gold stocks and the ETFs that follow those. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hi, this is Laura Sherris of Lady Talk Live. With the current threat of epidemics and pandemics threatening us and medical resources dwindling, it's time we protect ourselves. That's why I use Youngevity's immune booster, Beta 500. Beta 500 is the most powerful immune system booster you can buy. This proprietary blend provides the most studied and proven immune system booster available. Order now. Call 855-333-5239. That's 855-333-5239.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition. Peter, we are addressing your comment. You said that you felt that Austrian economics has been a total failure. Well, we have Jeff Dice on the line with us right now. Jeff is an expert when it comes to Austrian economics. He is the president of the Mises Institute. Failure, Jeff?
Well, first of all, I think we should note that Peter
whoever that might be, is not here to engage in this debate. So it's not entirely fair to him in the sense that this will be rather one-sided, and you'll just hear my take. But what's interesting is when he says Austrian economics has been a failure, first of all, there's no Western capitalist nation on earth where Austrian economics has been practiced by the actual government or central bank in power since at least the 1930s. In other words, in the 1930s is when Keynes's general theory came out and really swept both academia and government officials. And what Keynes' general theory did was it created this sense that demand-side stimulus is what economics is all about, that the role of fiscal and monetary policy is to increase aggregate demand, and that spending, whether on the government side or on the consumer side, is the key to growth, as opposed to what Austrians would say, you know, real productivity is the key to growth and prosperity. So when he says it's failed, I think that's a bit of a non sequitur because it's not been tried for so long. However, I think interest in Austrian ideas is growing. So what he might mean when he says Austrianism has failed is that some of the predictions since, let's say, the crash of 2008 have not come true. I suspect that's what he means. And in other words, where is hyperinflation? Why isn't gold $5,000 an ounce? That sort of thing. I don't want to put words into his mouth. But when it comes to those things, I think we have to go back and look at what's really happening. And I think that if you look at things from a theoretical perspective, you'll find that the Austrian perspective has been nothing but vindicated since 08. I mean, we have a situation where the U.S. Federal Reserve has more than quadrupled its balance sheet since the crash of 08. So there's more than four times as much monetary base in the form of reserves for Fed member banks. Now, the fact that they have not always turned around and lent out those reserves in multiples relates to the fact that they are capital constrained rather than reserve constrained. In other words, they need, you know, certain capital requirements, and they need certain credit worthiness to make loans. So we can pump as much money as we care to onto bank reserves, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to turn around and lend it out. So a lot of that money that the Fed created to buy bonds and to buy mortgage-backed securities and increase reserves on Fed member bank balance sheets is not sloshing around in the general economy. So we don't see widespread price inflation in all areas. We absolutely do see huge amounts of price inflation in ways that the government won't pony up to, like in housing in places like San Francisco, in energy up until the recent oil crash, in food at the grocery store, and certainly in equity prices. So I would argue that a lot of the newly created monetary base has in effect found its way into overhyped equity prices. So the hyperinflation question is a complex one, and we don't expect general price rises across all asset classes uniformly. No Austrians say that. So I think if he's talking about hyperinflation, he's wrong. And I would also say that one thing we know theoretically without any empirical evidence is that all other things being equal, if you flood the economy with new money, prices will rise. In other words, that's just a general proposition that we can prove deductively and that we know is true. So I think you will see huge price increases. I think you will see very unpleasant price increases in the coming decade. And I think that we've already seen price increases well above what the FedGov admits to if you consider CPI as it used to be factored. And, of course, John Williams does that on his Shadow Stats website. In terms of hyperinflation, I don't think that Austrians are wrong. Now, in terms of gold or money or sound money, as Austrians would see it, I think we're going to prove to be vindicated here as well. I mean, Al, Corey, there has never been a time in human history where you've had pure fiat currency on a global scale in the form of a world's reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, be created at will by a government year after year, decade after decade, with nothing backing it other than, let's say, the military might of the United States. So this is still an experiment that's unfolding, but it's unprecedented in human history. And I would argue that in the long run, Austrians will be vindicated, not in a happy way, but in the sense that There's never been a case in history where huge and rapid monetary expansion didn't cause very painful problems later, and there's never been a case in human history where it ever caused economic prosperity. Money is not wealth. If you give everyone in America $100,000 tomorrow, that doesn't create a single new bushel of wheat. It doesn't create a single new Honda Accord. Money is not goods and services. Money is not wealth. So creating more money in and of itself does not create wealth. So no one but the Austrian school is really saying that. You know, the supply-siders, the monetarists, and the Keynesians all believe that monetary policy is the path to prosperity. And by monetary policy, I mean modern monetary policy, expansion of the money supply, or at least targeted slight expansion of the money supply to create, let's say, a 2% inflation rate or something like that. I understand his comments, but I would say wait and see before you judge. And if our slice of history is from 2008 to 2015, I would say that's a rather narrow slice.
Well, Jeff, I'm going to try to take Peter's side here and argue for his point, simply because, as you mentioned, he's not here to do it. So going back to his question, he said the Austrian school has been wrong in many ways for years. People have made fortunes recently short-selling gold and gold stock. So I think he is kind of focusing on the gold narrative that gets tied in with the Austrian school. And in his aspect, and as you are saying, that wait for the truth to really be told. But the fact of the matter is, if you're looking at it from an investing point and even from a creating wealth, albeit on paper, in the modern age right now, over the last, say, 10, 20 years, we have gone through the odd crash here, but you know what? We haven't gone back to the Austrian school actually being the ruling school here.
Yeah, it's tough to look at equities nominally and not judge them in terms of their real growth, not their nominal growth. So the equity markets are not up as much as we think since, let's say, the 08 crash, when you consider them in real terms rather than nominal terms. Gold is something that the Austrian school does not per se advocate as money. History, experience really tell us that gold is good money, but that's an empirical question. That's not a theoretical question. All we know is that money should not be created by a central bank acting in concert with the government. Money ought to be a commodity like any other, and it ought to be created by the marketplace.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. We're chatting now with Valentin Schmidt. Valentin is the business editor of a great little newspaper that comes out of New York City called the Epoch Times. Valentin is an expert when it comes to Chinese social and economic issues. And we want to talk a little bit with you, Valentin, right now about what's going on with the quantitative easing in China.
Hey, Al, thanks a lot. As usual, it's a pleasure to be on your show, and it's always nice to talk to you guys. So this week, we saw a couple reports coming out of China, nothing official, but definitely leaked from senior sources that the Chinese are in earnest contemplating a form of quantitative easing, and they're going to target local government debt. The question that came to my mind at first was like, well, wait a second. The U.S. did quantitative easing when they came out of the Great Recession, the biggest recession or the biggest financial crisis after the Great Depression. And so things were pretty tough. And then you have Europe basically doing quantitative easing now after years of like no growth, and they did the LTO when the whole thing was about to fall apart. And you had Japan basically doing it for about 20 years after trying to get themselves out of their debt bubble. It strikes me as somewhat odd that the Chinese would contemplate doing that right now, because if you listen to the official narrative, then China is still growing at 7% and everything's great. But as I've always been saying, actually, things aren't that great there, and it makes total sense for them to also do QE, because their credit transmission mechanism, similar to the West, is broken. They use the state-owned banks to push credit into the economy to waste all those resources on infrastructure, residential real estate, and excess production capacity. And at one point, you know, even in a centrally planned regime, you would think that that doesn't work anymore. The laws of economics also count in these type of countries. And so basically now it's the end of the road, and the weakest players, like in the U.S., the mortgage market, are getting hit first, and that's in China, it's the property developers and the local local governments, who have about 2.6 to 2.8 trillion in debt, which they can never ever repay. So what they're thinking about doing is they're thinking about giving loans to banks, and the banks can pledge their loans to the local governments as collateral, similar to what the Europeans did. You know, they could get loans and pledging Greek government debt, which wasn't really worth much at that time, as collateral. And depending on the haircut they have to take, which I assume will be very low, effectively they're onboarding the risk on the central bank balance sheet. And what is this supposed to do? Obviously, the central bank prints money in order to expand the balance sheet. And what is this supposed to do? It's supposed to take risk out of local banks' balance sheets so they will lend again. But what happened in China actually a year or two ago, what all my sources on the ground and intelligence on the ground suggests, is that there aren't that many great projects to lend to, and even if the banks want to lend, the creditworthy borrowers, I mean, it's really the same story like in Europe, like in the United States. The creditworthy borrowers don't want the money because they basically see, look, there's nothing we can do here that generates a return high enough to justify taking on more debt. And then you have the low creditworthy borrowers who basically need the money, but the banks don't want to lend to them, like the property developers and other real estate companies in China. So, but the money has to go somewhere because we're in a closed system. So you're pushing in the money. Where does it go? It goes into the stock market, like in Europe, like in the United States, pushes up stock prices, does nothing for the real economy. And that's ultimately what has happened in China already and what will happen even more in the future.
So, Valentin, as you mentioned, this QE program sounds very much like a copy of what the U.S. did, what Europe is going through right now. So I guess the question I have to ask you is, will this money do what it did in the U.S., essentially sit on the bank balance sheets and flow into traders that put it into the market, and we see an elevated stock market?
That's exactly what's going to happen, because one of the areas where banks like to lend because they see a positive return is margin lending for the stock market. And even if it doesn't end up in margin debt, you know, the money has to flush through the system, because for the banks it does make sense, it totally does make sense to get the loan from the central bank depending on the rate and pledge the local government loans as a collateral. Because if the local government goes bust, then they basically can just give the central bank that collateral and say, "Yep, here you go. Sorry about that," and keep the difference. But like I say, even if it doesn't end up in margin debt, like you know, you have a closed end system. It's like, you know, you're in a bathtub and you have like one boat floating around, which is the stock market. If you put in more water, it's going to float up. It's inevitable, because relatively speaking, if I buy stocks from you, and then the money I use buying the stocks, it doesn't go away. It goes from my bank account to your bank account, so it's still there. So if you have more money, then the only thing it does on a relative basis, like the relative size of the stock market, which is changing, and the relative size of the money stock, which changes initially but then stays the same. So relatively, the stock market will go up. And that's what's happened in the United States. That's what happened in Europe.
So in terms of long-term effect, Valentin, what do you think this is going to have on the Chinese economy?
Well, first of all, it will help in as much as it will suck some risk out of the system. The Chinese central bank can, like the ECB and like the Fed, it can absorb to a limit a lot of risk. And 2.8 trillion, I don't know how much they have to guarantee. I don't know how much of that stuff is going to go bad. I mean, the Fed bought a lot of mortgage-backed securities, which were basically worth half as much as what they paid for, and they still got away with it. So I think the Chinese, they can get away with it, and it will suck some risk out of the system. It will help. It won't help the local governments, who still have to cough up the cash to service the loans. I don't see as that solving the problem whatsoever, and might drive down rates for those loans a little bit, but at the end of the day, you're not going to see extensive lending to the economy. So stocks are going to go up, and the rest is going to stay the same.
But in a very macro sense, this could be a good thing.
If you have stocks, it's a good thing, but overall, it won't change much. Except, I mean, it's the same story all over. It's the same story everywhere. You have it in Japan, you have it in Europe, you have it in the United States, you have it in China. You engineer a credit-based bubble, and half of your collateral is going bad, or a lot of your collateral is going bad, so your assets are not generating the cash flow. So then you have two options. Basically, you write down all the junk and basically start from scratch, or you perpetuate, you keep the debt alive, which basically jams up balance sheets. In Japan, it's been 20 years already. They haven't cleaned up, and they're still suffering from the debt. And in the United States, it's been 7 years. We have cleaned up probably the best of everybody, but still not enough. And you see what it does to the real economy. So in the long term, no, this actually is not a good thing, because it perpetuates bad things from the past that should be cleaned up with a sort of quick and painless solution rather than long and painful.
Unfortunately, Valentin, it just seems to be the road that every central bank is going to right now. And rather than taking their medicine and cleaning the system up, they are simply going to lower and lower interest rates and printing more and more money. And we all don't know when it will come to roost that this is not a good strategy for any of these countries, but the fact of the matter is everyone is doing that, and I believe as long as the central banks continue to almost be on the same page, playing the same game, they can keep the ball rolling at least for a little bit longer. But when it does all happen that this doesn't work anymore, well, we'll definitely see some shakeups in the financial market. Valentin, thanks for your time. Everybody,
thanks,
stick
guys.
Around. We're going to be right back with Glenn Down.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Have you noticed that in a disaster, the store shelves are emptied? Don't panic. You don't have to be part of the fear and chaos if you have a supply of GoFoods. GoFoods can help you rest easy knowing your greatest dependency of food is covered. Call now to take advantage of our Freedom Packs or set up your food savings account. Call us at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 1-800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risks of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit to per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Okay, here to wrap up the show, Corey and I are chatting right now with Glenn Downs, our Washington insider. You know, the big news has been of late when you can get past the riots in Baltimore and when you can get past the riots in Seattle, Washington, and other places. The big news right now is this fast-track thing for the treaty that the president is trying to push through. We have discussed this treaty with you, Glenn, and other people. We did it last week on the show. The treaty does not look particularly good for the United States. And Congress left yesterday, left Washington, D.C. yesterday. How did this fast-track thing look?
Well, Big Al, they had the fast track authority, which is just by way of review, is to ask Congress to surrender its constitutionally enumerated right to amend bad provisions out of treaties or add good provisions into treaties. Congress is being asked to give that up, and so they have to vote just up or down on whatever it is that Mr. Obama is negotiating right now. And of course, part of the problem is no one has actually seen this. So this is almost like the Obamacare law, where remember Nancy Pelosi said we have to pass the bill in order to see what's in the bill. They're asking Congress to give away its authority to amend the treaty before they know what it is they're giving up the authority to amend away. So it's like Obama trade. Obamacare becomes Obama trade now. And there's as you know, the organizations like the Business Roundtable and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other places like that are very much pushing very hard for this fast-track trading authority. And then they also will then be subsequently pushing very hard for, they've been doing it already, for this Trans-Pacific Partnership. And you can ask the lobbyists for these business interests, well, that's interesting. You said we have to have TPP. Do you know what's in TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership? And they say no, but we have to have it, and we need fast track. So they've got to get their mantra down. And the reason you indicated it's bad for America, and the reason it's bad for America for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's bad to be passing bills that we don't know what are in them, just for all kinds of reasons. Number two, we're going to be surrendering U.S. sovereignty and the sovereignty of the individual states to these international tribunals that will be set up, unelected and unaccountable people. And then number three, there are certain interests in the United States, the ones that are lobbying very hard for TPP, will benefit from it. But everybody, you know, it's like the Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm, in the animal farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And that's the way some people are going to benefit from this, but a lot of people will lose. And so for all those reasons, that has been, TPP is something that's been well known within certain circles in industry and in government, but until recently has not been generally known out there in the world. Because the idea was, let's get this thing all crafted in secret. The governments and trade negotiators and lobbyists for industry will craft this thing in secret, and then we'll give it the big bums rush from policymakers, and we'll package it in the name of free trade. And we need free trade to do economic growth. But you don't need all this giant secret treaties to do free trade. You just trade. So this is really about international governance and who controls things and who benefits from market access and who doesn't. So with that being said, there's been the big bums rush to, they thought they were ready to go with it, and they voted it, that they reached a deal over in the Senate with the Senate Democratic Finance Chairman, or the ranking Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, a senator from Oregon, Ron Wyden. And so the Democrats and the Republicans were getting together. There's that old cliche of the stupid party and the evil party get together every once in a while to do something that's bipartisan, that's both stupid and evil. And so here we go. But they began running into problems. And this week we saw some manifestations on the Senate side, where they thought they had everything wired. That was the easy part, the TPP people thought. A lot of Senate Republicans have begun seeing really bad polling numbers on this TPP thing. So they're getting, the word is, they're getting somewhat cold feet. Some of them are. And Senate rules being what they are, if you have a minority of very dedicated people that are willing to use the Senate rules and procedures to tie things up, they can really stretch things out and make it very, very difficult to pass things. On the House side, there's a lot of solidly Democratic opposition is coming up. The Democratic organizations and unions and things are really beginning to solidify against TPP and thus against Fast Track. But you're seeing a rising cohort of conservatives, people that are, you know, distinguished between conservatives and corporatists. And conservatives want actual free markets. Corporatists want, access and favors and government ensconced advantages and things like that. So there's a rising conservative cohort to go, wait a minute, I'm all for trade, and I think trade's a good thing, but what is this beast that they're asking me to not only get, you know, pave the way for, but to pave the way for Mr. Obama to insert provisions which we then can't take out, which may do things like, for example, make it much easier for illegal immigrants to come into our country and then into other countries. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, who's been a real champion on legal immigration and keeping immigration legal and not illegal, has voiced serious, serious concerns about this. And this is resonating amongst a lot of House members and a lot of conservative groups out there. So they don't have the votes they need yet to bring this fast track thing up. And if you want to stop TPP, you've got to stop Fast Track. And if there weren't odorous provisions that they're trying to keep secret and protect, because if they see the light of day, they'd go out the window, they wouldn't be making these negotiations secret. Because right now, members of Congress, if my boss, Congressman Walter Jones, or anybody else wanted to go over to the U.S. Trade Representative's office and said, hey, listen, give me a copy of this thing, and confidentially, so I can read it over and determine whether I want to give you fast track authority. They can't do it. No one knows what's in it, but they're being asked to vote for it. So that's where we are in Washington.
Glenn, I have to say, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, that it definitely doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy feeling anytime I hear about the government doing anything in secret, especially when it comes to passing bills and even writing bills. And I don't quite understand why or how the policymakers let this fast track even come into play, because it seems like we want our government on the same page as we go through with especially international affairs. Now, I could understand them saying that we want to keep it secret from maybe other countries, but inside our own government, we need to improve that communication, I think.
I totally agree, Corey, but it's not because we're doing a bad job of communicating. They're deliberately, the United States Trade Representative's office, which is part of the administration, and to be fair, if, say, Jeb Bush was president, they'd be pushing the same treaty. This is not Obama-centric necessarily. There may be provisions in there that Mr. Obama might want, say, to loosen immigration, that there might be in a way that it might be more generous to illegal, where currently illegal aliens, than, say, Jeb Bush, but it wouldn't be that much different. So this is kind of the Washington establishment and the corporate establishment versus everybody else. So you've got, at some level, there are members who are, hey, they're responding to where the money comes from. And if that's where they're getting their money, then that's what they're going to be responsive to. There are other members that, frankly, are useful idiots. They really think they're trying to jazz up the economy by promoting quote unquote free trade. And they don't even know what's in it, but whatever's in it, if it says use a fixed free trade to it, they're for it without even knowing what's in it.
Well,
so they're using people's gullibility, in this case, members of Congress's gullibility, to go along with stuff that they really shouldn't be going along with.
Yeah.
There is a rising cohort of consciousness here, so this thing has been slowed down more than, frankly, I thought it would have been at this point. So that's somewhat encouraging.
Well, I have to say, Glenn, I'm glad it's being slowed down. This is one area where I have to kind of agree with the unions, for lack of better terms. Always a pleasure talking to you, Glenn. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show this week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
By now, you've heard about bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.